So in the first reading, we have the situation of Samuel being sent by God in order to anoint a new king among the sons of Jesse. Samuel begins his discernment with his own eyes, but God quickly makes it clear to Samuel that he cannot judge by how he sees, that he must be attentive to the prompting in God's heart so as to see as God sees into the heart of the sons of Jesse. I don't know if you heard it, but to me it makes me laugh where Samuel finally says to Jesse, he's like, are these all the sons that you have? As if, you know, as if 8 sons or 7 sons is not enough, you know? It's like, is this all the way in which God has blessed you? Isn't there more than this? Clearly, Jesse has been blessed. He will have many descendants through the children that he possesses. But when David arrives, God informs Samuel, this is the one. And so Samuel fulfills what God has asked him to do, because he is able to see with the eyes of God, able to see by his light, able to see by his wisdom. It sets us up for the gospel text very well. We see, and I'll just say it now, these gospels during the latter part of the Lenten season, they become longer and longer. It becomes harder and harder to just capture one thing and to speak about it. There's so many things here. But ultimately, we see the bookends, you would say, of this story. The first question that is posed from the disciples to Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Understanding, we know that the sin of Adam and Eve, we see the consequences of that sin rippling into their life. And so the understanding that if people are experiencing physical difficulty or sickness or trouble, that it might be connected to sin in their life or sin of parents. And this man is dealing with the consequences of it. But Jesus takes this opportunity to cut into this understanding and to blow it up, to change the way that we understand it. Because ultimately, Jesus' response is, it's neither his sin nor his parents. This is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. This has been allowed to happen so that the works of God might be made visible in his weakness, in his need for healing. Remember that. We see as the gospel text continues, we see this man, and this is beautiful. He is born blind. It's one thing, and it has happened, the prophets of old, the healing of those who were blind, but not those who were born blind. Only those who had sight and lost it, being restored to sight. This is unheard of. That one born blind, never able to see, is now able to see. And how does Jesus do it? Jesus simply could have covered his eyes with his hands. He could have said simply, see, and it happened. But he does it in a very specific way that John describes for us. And this is important. It's important because we see in the actions of Jesus a prefigurement in the creation account. We see in the book of Genesis where God forms from the earth his creation, forming it from the clay of the earth. And so in our mind, we can see Jesus bending down to the earth, making clay with his hands. Now it is God, the incarnate Word of God. So the Word of God brings forth creation, and now the incarnate Word of God, Jesus himself, is bringing to fulfillment, bringing to completion. This man is almost as if he was born incomplete. And so Jesus, incarnate in our human flesh, bends to the earth, makes clay with his saliva, and more or less finishes this creation, finishing him by making for him eyes. I know that's not what it says, but it has this impression. The same clay that God used to create humanity, Jesus making and finishing his creation in this man. It has implications about the Sabbath day. This is all happening in the Sabbath. Another background story. Jesus does this on the Sabbath. The Pharisees condemn him for it. But Sabbath is about entering into completion, entering into rest. This man, you might ask, basically has never been able to enter into the Sabbath because he has not been complete. And so for Jesus to be at work on the Sabbath in order to repair, to fix, to bring to completion his creation, this sign of compassionate love, he says, I am at work and doing the work of my Father. And just as Jesus does today, it causes division between those who believe and those who do not, even there amongst the Pharisees. It's beautiful too, we see in this back and forth between the men and the Pharisees, that this blind man, because of what Jesus has done to him, has this ability even to speak to the Pharisees with boldness, with courage, because it has taken place within him. And the Pharisees finally recognize it. And they say, wait a minute. You were born totally in sin. And are you trying to teach us? And so they throw him out. This man in this encounter with Jesus and the healing of his eyes now possesses a wisdom. A light of faith has been illuminated within him. And then when he has the opportunity now to encounter Jesus again, to see him with his eyes, he is invited to perfect faith. Let us not underestimate what this man does. He says, I do believe, Lord, Adonai. And he worshiped him. This man makes a profound act of faith in worshiping the God made incarnate in flesh before him. He has been touched by Jesus, and he has come to this light. We hear that in St. Paul's second letter. Live as children of the light. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. It's something that should be written down, put on your wall, and said over and over, but now you are light in the Lord. And you need to repeat that and take that to yourself until the argument, until the rebellion inside yourself no longer protests. Because of who we have become in Jesus. Remember, I said you need to remember. Do you remember what you were supposed to remember? That it is necessary for Jesus' light, God's light, his wisdom, his truth, to reveal to us how we are to perceive the world. And to understand, my brothers and sisters, I hear a thousand questions. Why would God allow this? Why is God doing this? Why is God doing this? I thought we had a good and loving God. My brothers and sisters, I offer you the same response that Jesus offers to his disciples when they see before themselves evil, the brokenness of this man, his blindness. Jesus says, "It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him." My brothers and sisters, if we are experiencing brokenness in our society, in our country, in our world, in our family, because of the events of these days, it is so that the works of God might be made visible through us. Do you believe? Do you believe that God is greater than all of these things? Now, parents out there, I know this happens because it happens in our school, both in the elementary school and at Bishop Ward. When students get in trouble, they've got this scheme that they're trying to do, and they're trying to manipulate the system, and they're doing this and doing that. And as adults, we sit there and we look at them, you know, and as a child, you think, man, this is a pretty good lie. This is a good lie. I'm going to get out of this, right? I got this story all laid out. And as adults, you sit there and you look at the child and you're like, seriously? Like, you really believe that I'm going to believe what you're saying right now? And it's funny because, you know, as a child, it seemed really good. But now as an adult, listening to these stories that children tell in order to weasel their way out of being in trouble, you sit there and look at it and go, do you really expect me to believe that? This is how I imagine God's response to this situation. Because it is evil. God desires not the death of anyone. And yet, he sits there looking at the schemes of the evil one, the schemes of whoever and whatever. And he says, really? As like a parent looking at the child and says, who's trying to make up the narrative, to tell the story of how this is going to be. As a wise parent, you have the ability to direct that story, to bring light and truth into it, to expose that which is wrong, to expose the lie, to expose the darkness, to bring light to that. And we do that. If we do that as parents, how much more is our Heavenly Father in this time, in this situation, ready to expose the evil? To bring it to light? To speak truth into this moment? To manifest His power, His glory? And why am I saying it to us? Because we are believers. We are the ones who know our God. We have entered into redemption in Jesus Christ. We are to be the ones who are light in this moment in the Lord for the darkness that we are currently in. We are people of faith, my brothers and sisters. This is not a theoretical game that we're playing now. When everything was fine, we could play the game. We could come to church. We could hear and we could say, oh, well, that's nice sentiment. The situation of our world makes our faith in this moment not a game, not an idea, but a reality that must be made concrete in our lives. We are given a choice to believe or not, to believe in our good and loving God, that He is above all of this, that He is at work, allowing it to happen so that He can manifest His power, His love, His mercy in this moment. I'm sorry if you were not ready for this. But it is time to grow up. It is time for our faith to mature. We don't need our parents to come and to speak on our behalf, do you? Are you still living the faith of your parents? Or have you made the faith your own? It is time for us to decide. Because we need, I have no other answer for you in this moment than Jesus. How will we get through this? How will we overcome? How will we survive? Jesus. I have no other answer in this moment but Jesus. How will I be motivated to get up each day? How will I be motivated to do this? How will I care for those whom I need? Jesus. I have no other answer for you in this moment. You are of age. It is time for you to answer for yourself. It is time that our faith stop being something that we talk about on Sunday or we label ourselves with. It is time for our faith to be real for us in our life. It is time that our actions of our daily life be so enmeshed and connected with Jesus that we can no longer draw it apart or separate it. We are invited to let Jesus be the light in our life, wisdom, truth, and to be changed in that light so that we would become light as well in the Lord, that we would become true, verified in that truth in the Lord. That we would become alive. That we would no longer be walking dead, but that we would be alive in the Lord. The decision is ours. Amen.